Chapter 2. Roadblocks. Things that get in your way. Roadblock number 1. Social reluctance. Networking for introverts, shy guys, and gals. Quote, "The way you overcome shyness is to become so wrapped up in something that you forget to be afraid." Claudia Lady Bird Johnson, wife of Lyndon B. Johnson, 1912 to 2007. Networking does not come naturally for most people. In fact, it can be quite terrifying to walk in a room full of people you don't know. There can be moments of reluctance, even for the most outgoing extrovert. Fears, hesitation, doubt, and awkwardness well up inside of us to such heightened levels that it can become a significant emotional event. We don't like it, so as a defensive measure, we avoid it. I call this social reluctance. This is especially challenging for people who identify themselves as introverts by nature or those who are shy. You may already know that shyness and introversion are not the same thing. Introversion is a personality trait that usually lasts a lifetime. Shyness, on the other hand, is an emotional state that can be overcome. Carol Bainbridge, who writes about shyness and introversion, suggests that while an introvert may also be shy, introversion itself is not shyness. Basically, an introvert is a person who is energized by being alone or with one or two people at most. Being in crowds of people, for example, parties, conventions, networking meetings, literally exhausts that person. Have you ever felt that way? Are you an introvert? Ms. Bainbridge explains that, quote, "Introverts are more concerned with the inner world of the mind. They enjoy thinking, exploring their thoughts and feelings. They often avoid social situations because being around people drains their energy. This is true even if they have good social skills. After being with people for any length of time, such as a party, they need to be alone to recharge," end quote. If this description fits you, you may be an introvert, and that's perfectly fine. Networking and relationship building is not the exclusive dominion of extroverts. You can be successful with people, relationships, and yes, networking. You will do so in the way that works best for you. Just keep reading. Are you shy? When I was in college, I had the privilege of sitting in the classroom with the brilliant and charismatic professor Philip Zimbardo, PhD, of Stanford University. His psychology classes were standing room only. Shy or not, many of us attended his lectures because the topic, quite frankly, was vitally important to our futures, not to mention our weekends. In his groundbreaking book, Shyness, What Is It and What to Do About It?, Dr. Zimbardo reveals that shyness is pervasive, with as many as 40% of people in his research study considering themselves shy. If you're shy, you're not alone. There are millions of shy people all around us. Shy on the outside, torn up on the inside. Dr. Zimbardo's study presented a surprising portrait of those with the shy condition. Their mild-mannered exterior conceals rolling turmoil inside. The shy disclosed that they were excessively self-conscious, constantly sizing themselves up with negativity and overwhelmingly preoccupied with what others think of them. While everyone else is meeting and greeting, they're developing plans to manage their public impression. If I stand in the far corner of the room and pretend to be examining the painting on the wall, I'll look like I'm interested in art and won't have to talk to anybody. They are consumed by the misery of the social setting. I'm having a horrible time at this party because I don't know what to say, and everybody seems to be staring at me. All the while, their hearts are pounding, their pulses are speeding, and butterflies are swarming in their stomach. Physiological symptoms of genuine distress. Now, being shy can be extremely uncomfortable, if not emotionally painful. Check out Dr. Zimbardo's website, shyness.com, for tons of up-to-date information, surveys to complete, scales, and more to help shy folks overcome their social reluctance with confidence. An unusual case of narcissism. Mark Shepard, master practitioner and trainer of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, the study of how you run your brain, believes that shyness is a form of narcissism, a trait where a person is overly concerned with self-image and ego. Shepard, a recovered shy guy himself, works with shy people to help them clear their limiting beliefs and negative emotions. His program, Clear the Fear, help shy people and others learn how to get out of themselves and get comfortable conversing and connecting with other people. He even wrote a song about it. It's hysterical. Here are a few lyrics from Mark Shepard's song, Narcissism.
Narcissism, narcissism. You know you're really living when you're looking through the prism of good old narcissism. If you want to get ahead in life, you better get this right. People don't want to hear about you, they want you to hear about them. Hey, narcissism, narcissism. You know you're really living when you're looking through the prism of good old narcissism. What I've thought about you is all wrong. It's been all about me all along. And what you think about me is all about you. So we might as well sing this song together. Narcissism.
Used with permission by Mark Shepherd. All rights reserved. For more inspiring and entertaining songs, go to markshepherdsongs.com. The good news is that shyness can be overcome. In fact, practicing networking and learning the skills of conversation can be an excellent way to get rid of the shyness problem. Like any learned skill, it can be uncomfortable at first, but after time, you will get good at it. With networking, you can also experience an extra benefit. You make new friends and get new opportunities. Why stay trapped inside your narcissistic, shy self when you can come out and play with the rest of us? Once free of your shyness, you will never look back. How can you do it more comfortably? My advice to introverted and shy people is to keep in mind that networking is nothing more than building relationships one person at a time. Your energy and focus should be on that one person at a time. Find ways and venues that allow you to maintain your personal energy and interest. Roadblock number 2, comfort zoned, hanging out with people you already know. Quote, don't be afraid to expand yourself, to step out of your comfort zone. That's where the joy and adventure lie. Herbie Hancock, American pianist, bandleader, and composer. To be an effective networker, you must continually meet new people and add them to your professional network. Just hanging out with people you already know is not going to grow your sphere of influence. Imagine if you had adopted this limiting attitude when you were in elementary school. You'd only ever know the people in your sixth grade class. Not good. Life has a way of pushing us out of our comfort zones. We move to new places, attend new schools, work for different companies, drive on new roads. In fact, it's really hard not to meet new people throughout your life. So unless you're in the Witness Protection Program, go ahead, put yourself out there, extend your hand, and meet new people. It's good for you. But for some reason, meeting new people in the context of networking takes on a whole new level of hesitation. It can create the same physiological response as public speaking. And we know how some of you feel about doing that. Ultimately, it's fear and uncertainty that stops you. This reminds me of a personal story. I experienced extreme levels of hesitation that resulted in a hermit-like behavior. When I was in sixth grade, my family moved to a new community, which meant a new school for me. It was toward the end of the school year, but still it was traumatizing for a young girl whose whole life was built around her friends, her school, and her neighborhood. I was somebody there. Now I'd have to start all over again. It was exhausting just to think about it. So I stayed in my room for a full 3 months after moving to the new house. I didn't go outside or play with new kids. I went to the room immediately after school every day. During the summer, I stayed inside where it was safe. I practically missed the entire summer. I was pissed off, scared, lonely, and becoming a bit depressed. The babysitter didn't notice. Then the new school year started, and I was forced to come out of my shell. It was a new year, new school, junior high school now, for everyone. We were all in the same boat. Everyone had to make new friends. I was forced out of my comfort zone. My self-induced extended pity party was officially over. Thank goodness, as I could now get on the business with learning and living. So what do you have in common with the 12-year-old girl who has been traumatized by a changed environment? You're not 12, you may not even be a girl, but no doubt you have experienced something like that in your life. It is an imaginary roadblock that becomes quite real and powerful, and it can personally and professionally disable you. So the next time you find yourself declining to attend a conference or networking meeting, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What's the worst thing that could happen to me? Or better yet, ask yourself, what's the best thing that could happen to me? It's time to come outside and play, make new friends, and create new opportunities. President Franklin Roosevelt said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. He had a point. Roadblock number 3, lazy and undisciplined. The shortest path to mediocrity. Quote, you can't teach people to be lazy. Either they have it or they don't. Dagwood Bumstead, comic strip, Blondie. I'm personally going to hit you hard here. Networking takes effort. It takes personal discipline. It takes commitment and follow through. Most of us are just too lazy, undisciplined, or disorganized to do it well. We start and then we stop. We do it for a while and then we quit. If something bad happens, we get laid off from the job, for example, we quickly start networking again. It's as if networking is behind some glass case that reads, in case of emergency, break open. Networking for the health of it. Networking is like exercise and eating right. It's a no-brainer for short-term and long-term health. Exercise regularly, eat nutritious food, sleep well, limit the toxins, and you might just keep yourself out of the hospital. You'll look better and feel better. You'll potentially live longer and live better. With effort, it will become a new lifestyle, an automatic daily routine. You'll wonder how you ever lived without doing it. But most of us would rather take a pill, go through surgery, or just live a fat, high-risk life than put exercise and healthy living into our daily routines. Crazy, isn't it? Protecting your greatest assets. Anything worth having is worth working for, a wise person once said. Yes, your health is worth it. It's your greatest asset. Without your health, you'd be severely limited. It's a game changer. Ask anyone who's run the cancer gauntlet. After your health, your next greatest asset, I propose, is your relationships. Think about the special people in your life who make living rich and meaningful to you. What are you doing to protect these assets? Investing time and effort in those relationships, or ignoring them and taking them for granted? Be honest now. Relationships are at the very heart of networking. They are the big prize in networking. Long-term, mutually beneficial relationships are what you're working toward. Therefore, it only makes sense that some effort will be required to create them and to maintain them. When it comes to relationships, lazy doesn't last long. Couch potatoes don't make good husbands, or wives for that matter, nor do they make good friends or good contacts. What's so cool about this roadblock is that it's 100% in your control. You could do something about it. You don't need external solutions to put it into play. Just add some effort and sustain it over a period of time until it becomes a personal habit. Discipline yourself and make networking and relationship building a daily priority in your life. If you do this, you'll feel better. More people will care about you. You will care about more people. This is good. Roadblock number 4. Shortage of time. How are you using your 86,400 seconds per day? Quote, either you run the day or the day runs you. Jim Rohn, American entrepreneur, author, and motivational speaker. There's not enough time in the day. Don't you love this excuse? It's indisputable. Everyone has the same problem. The busier we get, the more important we feel. How cool is that? This is not cool if it keeps you from doing what's most important in your life. Never forget that your to-do list is not the same as your priorities. Not all tasks are equally important. We have choices, not just excuses. Let me share a story that changed how I view time. It was shared to me by the head of my martial arts academy, Grand Master Yu, who is a judo Olympian, an 8th-degree black belt in taekwondo, judo, and hapkido, and is on the council of the World Korean Judo Society. Clearly, he is an influential man in the global community of martial arts and has positively impacted many lives in his 30-plus years of running martial arts schools, including mine. One day, when I was feeling particularly overwhelmed and apparently showing it to others with my body language and energy, he took me aside and told me a story in his broken English with his charming Korean accent that I've grown to love during my studies with him. He said, "Let's say I give you $1,000 every day. You spend as you wish. What you not spend, you give back to me. Next day, I give you another $1,000. You spend. What you not spend, you return to me. Next day, same thing. Tell me how you spend the money. Now, instead of $1,000, I give you 24 hour. I give you 24 hour each day. You spend as you like. What you don't spend, I take back at end of day. Next day, I give you another 24 hour. Next day, you get another 24 hour. Question, how you spend your time?" I was dumbfounded, speechless, and utterly transformed with this story. I realized that I get a precious, valuable, seemingly unending gift of time, a fresh supply of time, 24 hours every day. That's 1,440 minutes every day, or 86,400 seconds each day. Wow, if that were money, I'd be rich. But unlike money, you can't save time. You can't accumulate it and get compounding interest on it. You can't put it in the bank, invest it in the market, and hope that it grows. Time comes as quickly as it goes. And when it's gone, it's gone. But you do get a lot of it, and you have choices as to how you use it. I tell you this personal story so that you too may adopt a new attitude about time. This is your opportunity to stop making excuses about time and start embracing it as a gift. While there will always be pressures and demands on your time, ultimately, it is yours. You choose how you spend it. Why not spend a little of it each day in building and maintaining relationships? That, my friend, will pay you rewarding dividends. Quote, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you'll never get it back. Harvey McKay, author of Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten. Roadblock number 5, technophobic versus technoaddict, misusing technology to your detriment. Quote, yes, I love technology, but not as much as I love you see. But still, I love technology, always and forever. Kip's wedding song from the movie Napoleon Dynamite. Is technology your friend or foe when it comes to networking and relationship building? Imagine living without your cell phone, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Was there life before Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter? Of course there was. More technologies and advances will be introduced by the time this book is published and will continue to be introduced on a daily basis. How will you keep up with it all? The good news is that we're human beings and we are learning machines. Even as we age, our brains continue to make new neurological connections, our bodies regenerate, and we can learn new skills and tasks. But for some of us, the learning process involves a fair amount of complaining. Technology-life balance. In order to strike a healthy balance in using technology to enhance your relationships, you need to keep a few things in mind. Technology is not going away. It continues to evolve, and you must evolve with it. If you bury your head in the sand and decide that you're not going to participate in social media, for example, you will become outdated quickly. Your skills, knowledge, and experience will also become dated. Technology is your servant, not your master. Like any tool, technology is only as good as your ability to use it, understand it, and control it. The right tool for the right job, my husband reminds me when we are tackling home and garden remodeling projects. When networking and relationship building, please remember that technology creates the communication channel, additional ways to stay in touch with people that you care about. But don't become a slave to it. Don't let technology alter the fundamental ways in which you relate to people. Technology only temporarily hides your flaws. The song, I'm So Much Cooler Online, from country singer Brad Paisley, reminds us of how easy it is to appear to be something that we are not when you present yourself on social media sites. Because networking is fundamentally about relationships, you must reveal the real you. Online and offline, you must bring the real you to the table. Anything else would be phony, exhausting, and ultimately unsustainable.